This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is a beautiful Monday morning, Championship Monday, and we bring in our friend Kevin Skarbinski, AL.com, on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline to talk about the big matchup tonight. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Doing outstanding. I'm luxuriating in your lead on your story from yesterday. Listen to Dabo Swinney for 5 minutes. You're not just ready to pick Clemson to beat Alabama in the national championship game. You're ready to pick the Tigers to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Can he do this, Kevin? Can this happen for Dabo and Clemson tonight?
Yes, it can. They are good enough to win this game. They were good enough last year to win that game. Really, it was two special teams plays that turned the tide, so to speak.
Yeah.
And obviously the onside kick and the kickoff return for a touchdown by Kenyon Drake. Those were great plays by Alabama, great decision by Nick Saban, and great execution by the players to make those happen. So it was that close last year, and in many ways Clemson is a better team this year. I know we've seen them have close calls against lesser competition, but when they've been challenged against the better teams on their schedule, they've stepped up. And Deshaun Watson is, in many people's minds, the best player in the country. So that's an incredible matchup. The best quarterback in the country against one of the best defenses of all time. Should be great to watch tonight.
You know, Vegas has kept this. Alabama's been about a 6.5 point favorite all week long. But it seems like the regional and national sports experts seem to kind of think Clemson's, you know, got the momentum. They seem to be the team on a high. Is it all just because of what happened against Ohio State in that 31-0 beatdown?
Well, there's certainly a recency bias there. Clemson has become, it seems, the trendy pick to win this game. And people did see them completely destroy Ohio State. But if you really studied that game going in, you could see that Clemson was the better team and should have won that game. Not that they should have won it 31-0, but Ohio State had some issues, and they were not able to overcome them against a very good Clemson team. And then people remember how Alabama struggled on offense against Washington. And, of course, the big off-the-field story this week is they brought in their backup offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian. And who else has a backup offensive coordinator like Steve Sarkisian to call into the mix at the most critical time of the season? And so there are great questions there of how that's going to work tonight. How is he going to handle the spotlight? He's been there before. He's been in national championship games before. He's called plays in this kind of on this kind of stage before, but he hasn't done it in a couple of years. He hasn't done it for Nick Saban. And he hasn't worked with Jalen Hurts except for the last week. So for all those reasons, it makes sense for people to pick Clemson, except for one thing. Alabama has been here before. Alabama has been here many times before. Nick Saban has never lost in this spot before. And this defense, as I said earlier, may be the best in college football history, and they get a chance to prove that tonight.
Kevin Skarbinski joins us on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline, and I think that's probably factoring into one of the reasons why, as you mentioned, you know, it's become a trendy pick to pick Clemson. I think a lot of the national media, a lot of the fans nationwide of college football might think it's good for the game for Alabama to take a stumble right about now.
You know, it's interesting. It's what we do just as fans of sports in general. We love to see greatness. We love to see records set individually as teams, as coaches. And yet, at a certain point, we love to see the underdog take the dynasty down.
Yeah.
And there's no question Alabama is a dynasty. And I think if you took a national poll of college football fans, I think it would be pretty overwhelming. They would love to see Clemson win this game and put a stop to the Alabama dynasty. And let's make one point clear. Alabama can lose this game tonight. Unless Nick Saban walks away afterward, the dynasty is not going away. Alabama's not going away. They will be extremely talented next year and the year after and the year after, and they will be extremely competitive as long as Nick Saban is the head coach and probably beyond. So this game won't change that, but I think a lot of people are ready for a change, at least of who's standing on that podium after the last game of the year.
You know, you mentioned Deshaun Watson. He's been in this game before, been on a stage like this before. He's made mistakes as well, through two picks against Ohio State, but he doesn't seem to get rattled either. We've heard a lot about Jalen Hurts not getting rattled, making mistakes, coming right back and making something positive happen. That's very impressive for a first-year starter and a true freshman. But I'm not sure Deshaun Watson gets enough credit in that department, Kevin. Being a senior, being experienced, to me, that is a huge key in this game tonight, particularly if it's tight, late in the game, you know, type of environment. Deshaun Watson, to me, I have a little bit more comfort than maybe a guy like Jalen Hurts on this type stage.
Yeah, he's done this before against the Alabama defense last year, throwing for 400 yards, rolling up almost 500 yards of total offense, and he's fearless. He's not afraid to throw into tight windows. He trusts his receivers. He'll throw it up and let Mike Williams, for example, go get it. And more often than not, Mike Williams and those other receivers will make a play. This is a better group of Clemson receivers than the group Alabama faced last year. But let me throw some key stats at you guys.
I love it.
That I think are something to watch tonight.
All right.
And I'm not a big numbers guy, but these really jumped out at me in trying to break this game down. The four games this year in which Deshaun Watson threw the most passes in a game, threw 50 or more, or 48 or more in four games. Three of those four were Clemson's lowest scoring games of the year. He threw 53 against Troy. They struggled to win that game. He threw 52 against NC State. They struggled to win that game in overtime. He threw 48 against Georgia Tech, and it was kind of a ho-hum 26-7 win. And he threw 70 against Pitt, and of course that was the game they lost, although they did score a bunch of points in that game. So the more he has to throw the ball, the more that means Clemson can't run the ball.
Yes.
And if they don't find some kind of balance, I don't think they can beat Alabama.
That's a good assumption or a conclusion to draw out of that. If they can't run the football, they don't have a really good chance. What about defensively? They're facing this Alabama team with Bo Scarborough, who has all of a sudden become another trendy pick. That he's the next great thing, the next big thing, and everything. He looked good against Washington. I suspect that if he had not gotten hurt, that we're looking at him as one of the best running back, or one of the best players in the country by now. He looks really talented to me.
You know, it's almost eerie how slow his development has been, and so similar to Derrick Henry. It took, Derrick Henry wasn't quote-unquote Derrick Henry his first couple of years at Alabama. We saw flashes, and then he put it all together last year in his Heisman season. Bo Scarborough has shown us flashes, and he showed us more of those flashes and really necessary flashes last week against Washington. So I think you're going to see Clemson load the box. They like to put their corners on islands and trust them to go one-on-one with receivers. I think you're going to see them do everything they can to try to stop that Alabama running game. And that's why I kind of expect they're going to be so focused on Bo Scarborough. It's almost as if they'll let out a sigh of relief when Damian Harris is in the game. I look for Damian Harris to maybe bust a long run tonight and maybe be the unsung hero of the game. He's had the quietest 1,000-yard rushing season I think I can ever remember. I don't think people realize he's the team's leading rusher, and he did go over 1,000 yards. But he hasn't had a 100-yard game since Texas A&M. I just have a gut feeling that he might be an unsung hero tonight.
That's an interesting point, Kevin. We were talking earlier in the show. Who's going to be the O.J. Howard of last year in this year's game? I mentioned Calvin Ridley. He's been kind of quiet this year. But nobody's mentioned Damian Harris, and I think that's an excellent player to look at tonight. He could certainly have that type of game.
And you know, it's funny you say Calvin Ridley, and normally you would say, well, he's a star. He can't be an unsung hero, but he's been – he and our Darius Stewart both have been targeted and used so infrequently in relation to their talent, particularly lately and especially in the Washington game. When they could have stayed home and Alabama could have won that game without them. That's how little a part they played in the actual game. But either of those guys are capable of making plays. And it's interesting, I was watching the replay of last year's championship game late last night. And remember the third down, the long completion from Jake Coker to our Darius Stewart. One of the key plays in that game in the second half, Coker was about to get smashed, and he threw it up for our Darius Stewart, and Stewart ran under it. He's another guy to watch tonight, because he tends to make big plays at big times, and I think tonight could be his night as well.
Is there anything particular you're going to be looking at, particularly in terms of Steve Sarkisian, his mannerisms, his play calling, how the game is flowing from an offensive standpoint?
Well, I'll be disappointed if ESPN doesn't have a Sark cam tonight that's on him constantly shows his every movement. And more important than that is the interaction, I think, between
him and Nick Saban. Or I should say the interaction between Nick Saban and him,
because
it's going to be Nick Saban initiating those conversations and dominating them at times. Does Nick Saban feel comfortable enough with Steve Sarkisian to jump on him and chew him out the way he did Lane Kiffin if things don't go right, to get his point across? I don't know that. You would hope that he would feel exactly as comfortable doing that with Sarkisian as he did with Kiffin, because you don't want to see any changes at this point in the season any more than the change of bringing in a new offensive coordinator. You want game day to be as normal as possible. But given Steve Sarkisian's personal problems, and he addressed them somewhat, not in any detail on Saturday at Media Day here, does Saban feel free to just be himself tonight? And sometimes being himself means jumping all over his offensive coordinator.
Kevin Skarbinski, potential television programmer, the genesis behind Sarkavision tonight.
Yeah, I like that.
ESPN, that's not a bad idea. Kevin, we appreciate your input here.